Today, being the 19th of January, 2025, we are looking at lesson number 5 in our series entitled Walking Wisely in a Foolish World. And this lesson today is going to be out of the book of Proverbs. There are several passages we're going to be using. In your bulletin today, I've tried to list many of those passages so that you can have them there and you'll know where we're going. There'll be other passages from the New Testament and from other passages of the Bible. But I want you to look at this lesson today. It's entitled, The Wisdom of Godly Discipline. The Wisdom of Godly Discipline. Our theme verse today is two of them, actually. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. The Bible said this, My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now I want to ask this question to you today. How do you accept God's discipline in your life? How do you accept God's discipline? How did you accept discipline from your parents? Okay, when your parents had to get on to you. Do some of you get mad at your parents? Am I the only one that got mad? No. No? I got upset until I figured out, you know what? They were right. They were right. And boy, I tell you what, there are many times that we refuse to allow God to love us enough to discipline us the way we need to be disciplined. And there are times, boy, we think we know everything, don't we? We just think we know everything. And then we find out we don't. And we find out we don't know the question, let alone the answer. And when God has to deal with our hearts on things, we need to be willing to humble ourselves and allow God to show us what is right and what is wrong in our lives, so that we can be able to be the best servant of God for Him that He would want us to be. I looked up this word discipline, and the Webster Dictionary defines the word discipline as this: punishment, instruction, or training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character. You know what? It is something that God does so that we can be a better child of God. Now, nobody likes discipline, okay? Nobody likes to be disciplined. And nobody wants to be under the hand of God when you're doing something wrong without being humbled and get things right with God. But you know what? The thing is this. Godly discipline is a biblical virtue. It's a biblical virtue. And Paul wrote to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. He wrote these words, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. That word perfect does not mean that he's going to be without sin, but it means that he's going to grow up to be one that is spiritually mature. And he knows what God's purpose and plan is for their life, and they try to adhere to that. And therefore, discipline should be something that God does to help us. It's not to hurt us, but it's to help us. I remember when I was working in industry, and when we hire a new employee, okay, we had a 30, a 60, and a 90-day probationary period. And we would have reviews with them, okay, and sit them down and say, okay, this is what the job is, this is the job description, this is what we want you to do. And in 30 days, we'll look at it, see how you're liking it, see if what issues you've got, 60 days, 90 days, and then we'll decide if we're going to let you stay or if you get a raise or whatever the situation is. And many times, I remember having to sit down and try to give constructive criticism and help in doing their jobs and some of these things, and folks really got bent out of shape. They would get bent out of shape. Well, why don't you like me? It's not a matter of liking you or not. I'm trying to help you. And this is to help you be able to do your job better and learn the people, learn the things that you're doing. And a lot of times folks don't want that. But you know what? It's a great thing when you accept God's discipline in your life and you realize, you know what, God, you are right. You are right. A soft answer turneth away wrath instead of just storming out at somebody, okay? All right? I've learned not to do that with my wife. Man, when we have a spat or whatever, you don't storm out and get all mad. You might starve for a week if you do that, okay? Don't do that. A soft answer turneth away wrath. And we have to learn some things from God's Word. So Solomon wrote to his son here. And he said here in our verse, he said, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord." Don't get mad if God gets on to you about something. If God convicts your heart and shows you that you're not doing something right, don't get mad at God. Just do what he said do. "Neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth." Solomon wrote this, and he was endowed with the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, the strength of God, and he observed that God's desire for his children was that they might receive his instruction and walk wisely in this foolish and sinful world. Folks, we've got a mess in our world today. And folks are walking foolishly. You know, you hear all kinds of things about the new inauguration coming up tomorrow and all the things that's going to be happening under the new administration and all these other things. And people are just, I mean, they're just, it's sad. Sad situation we're living in today. But folks, listen. Solomon observed that the natural and the selfishly sinful tendencies of a man or a woman or a boy or a girl are to reject God's instruction. Our natural tendencies are to do what we want to do no matter what anybody else says. Wasn't that the situation with Cain there in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had taught them to give sacrifices for the sin? And Cain said, "Well, I don't want to do that. I'm going to do something different." And then God didn't accept his offering. And Cain got mad. And God said, "Cain, son, why are you mad? Listen, if you just do what I've asked you to do, everything's good. You won't have a problem." But Cain didn't want to do what God wanted to do, did he? Cain wanted to do what Cain wanted to do. And that's where we have to understand our will is not always what God's will is for our life. And God gives instructions to help us, to strengthen us, so that we can be the servant of God that would be best suited for the job that he has for us to do for him. And God wants us to be willing to accept his chastening hand when he has to give it. Let me give you an example today. If you'll remember in the Word of God, in Samuel's day, the people chose not to have the Lord God as their sovereign leader in the land, but they wanted a king like all the other nations had. They wanted what everybody else had. And they thought that they could persuade those kings and bribe them and coerce them to do whatever the people wanted them to do. And we've seen that in our political realm, in our world today. We've seen what that does. And it only makes things worse. And when Samuel had to approach King Saul about not doing what God said do, Saul never would take responsibility for his actions. He never would accept the chastening of God in his life. And guess what happened? He lost the kingdom. God took it away from him because he refused to accept God's instructions. He refused to obey the Lord. And he refused to do what the man of God instructed him to do to be right with God. So what did God do? God sought out a man that was after his own heart. And he found a young shepherd boy named what? David. He found a young shepherd boy named David. And David's heart was intent on serving the Lord God. And you know what? The thing that amazes me is, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, when Saul refused to accept God's discipline for his obedience, the Bible said that in those days the Spirit of the Lord dwelt with a man. He didn't dwell in them, he dwelt with them. He guided them, he led them. And the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. It troubled him. He never got over the fact that God had to discipline him. He never got over the fact that he was wrong and he wouldn't admit it. But when I look at David's life, when David was caught doing wrong and Nathan stood before David and gave him the story about the little ewe lamb, remember that? And David said, surely the man that's done this will pay the debt. Man, he'll die. David was mad. And Nathan, the man of God, stood there and pointed in his face and said, David, thou art the man. And you know what? David repented for what he had done wrong. He had a different spirit about him when God had to discipline him. And though he had to endure the consequences of his sin, that little baby that he and Bathsheba had died. It died. And David said, you know what? I'm not going to grieve because one day I can't bring him back to be with me, but I can go to be with him where he is. And David rejoiced in the Lord that God still blessed him. And David continued to use him because David chose to accept God's chastening. He accepted God's instructions on how to live righteously. And he went on to repent of his sin and ask God to lead him and guide him. That's the reason we have Psalm chapter number 51. And if you take time to read Psalm chapter 51, David realizes, God, it's you that I've sinned against. And you're the one I've done wrong against. Forgive me, God. Blot out my sin. Blot out my transgressions. And David accepted God's discipline in his life. There's a difference. David was sorry that he had committed the sin. Saul was only sorry that he got caught. And there's a difference. And there's a difference. So folks, I want us to look at this thing today. And Solomon, the son of David and Bathsheba, okay, gives us this principle today. The wisdom of godly discipline. I want you to look at this. I want you to see, first of all, God's discipline. Solomon presents discipline in this lesson as one of the ways that God protects the fellowship that you and I have with him. He protects that fellowship. You see, God is a jealous God. Now, what does that mean? It means that he loves us so much that he is not willing for someone else to steal your love for him away from you. And God wants us to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might. And God disciplines us so that he might protect that fellowship that you and I have with him each and every morning. This morning I got up and I was praying for several different ones in our class and several other ones that have sent notes and asked us to pray for them. And I was thanking the Lord this morning that I have the opportunity to come to him and I can bring any burden that I have unto him and lay it at his feet. I had somebody this week that's wanting some counsel on some things. And I told him, I said, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do before we counsel. I said, I need you to give me a few days to pray and seek God's wisdom and ask him for wisdom in what I'm going to sit down and talk with you about. Because I want to instruct you in the right way, the ways of God. That's the way we have to instruct folks. And folks, God's discipline is one of the ways that God protects that fellowship that you and I have with him. Now remember, that definition that Webster gives for discipline, it's defined as punishment or instruction or training that corrects, it molds, it perfects the mental faculties and moral character of an individual. God has a purpose for discipline. And we need to be willing to accept God's discipline in our life. Solomon also teaches us here that discipline is a parental responsibility. Okay? Parents have a responsibility to discipline, to correctly teach their children. You realize that, don't you? How many of you in here are parents? Grandparents. Okay? All right? You know what? Great grandparents. Yeah, I'm a great grandparent. I mean, I don't have a great grandchild, but I have great grandchildren. All right? So I'm a great grandparent, all right? But here's the thing, folks. Self-disciplined parents and properly disciplined children are designed to bring honor and glory to God. It doesn't just please you when your children obey you and do what you say do, but it pleases God. And you know what? We need to teach our children that. We need to teach our grandchildren that. Our grandson, he's taller than I am now. Some of you saw him back Thanksgiving when they came, and he got upset with one of his teachers at school. And he told me what he thought of that teacher, and I said, now, I wonder if that's what God would want you to think about that. And he looked at me, he said, well, no, but that's what I think. And I said, well, then you need to think like God thinks. And you need to pray for that teacher. And you need to be a right kind of student because they need to see Christ in you. Folks, listen, when we teach our children, our grandchildren, the right responsibilities, we are glorifying God. We're doing what God said do. And we're allowing them to bring honor and glory unto God as well. Let me ask you, is there an effective model? Is there an effective model of discipline somewhere that we can learn from and follow in our lives today? Is there a model of discipline that you and I can use today to help us to be able to help folks? And yes, the answer is yes. And that model is found in God himself. We see it in the Lord God. So how does God provide an effective model for us to follow and to live by today? How does God provide that? And how did he do it in Solomon's day? How did he do it in Solomon's day? Well, God disciplined his children through the just and right balance of righteous and loving instruction. And it was coupled with holiness and grace. Okay? How many of you understand what grace is? It's not getting what you deserve, right? All right? Hey, listen. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's G-R-A-C-E. That's grace. God's riches displayed upon our lives, but it was given at Christ's expense. And here, since it was God who created man, God is the one who knows exactly what is appropriate and what is needed for each of us in order to have fellowship with him. And God knows your life. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you ought to be and what he wants you to be. And God even knows what you want yourself to be. He knows that. And so God deals with us as individuals. And you know, its reality is seen in Proverbs chapter number 3. I want you to look at this. Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. This is our theme verses today. Solomon wrote here and he said, my son, he's talking to his own child, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Don't get mad at God if God gets on to you. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Neither be weary of his correction. And he gives the reason. Look what he said. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Hey, listen. How many of you corrected your children because you loved them? Yeah. You didn't want them to get in trouble. You didn't want to see them hurt. You didn't want to see them lose privileges or things like that. You did what you did for them because you love them enough to teach them to do right. Listen, a person says, love your children, let them just do whatever they want to do. That is not the way you love them. Listen, I don't even let my little dog do that. Okay? No, sir, buddy, she knows. All I got to do is say, precious. And she looks at me and them little ears just kind of sink down, the little tail sinks down. And she goes over and sits on the chair and kind of hides her head a little bit. I said, precious, did you do that? And she looks over at Lisa like, mommy, did I do that? Yeah, did I do that? Man, even a little dog knows when you love them enough to do what's right. And you know what? We need to teach our children to do right. We need to teach our grandchildren to do right. We need to be willing to teach ourselves to do right when God shows us what needs to be done. And look at this. He said, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. We've got children that we love. We want them to do right. We want them to grow up right. I remember my parents telling the teachers at school when we had parent-teacher nights, all they would say was, if he does something wrong, you just let us know and we'll take care of it. And they did. But you know what? They did it because they loved me enough to do it. Now, when Solomon lived on this earth, he observed a lot of things. And he observed how God dealt with his people. How God dealt with the nation of Israel. He noticed how that God dealt with him on so many different occasions and situations, especially after he had brought them out of the land of Egypt and they were wandering about in the wilderness there. They didn't understand why God had done that, but it was to teach them to learn to trust the Lord. All they did was want to complain. You ever had children that just want to complain? I don't like Captain Crunch today. I wanted this. I wanted Fruit Loops. And they just fuss and gripe about everything. And you know what? We find ourselves sometimes doing the same thing with God, do we not? God, I don't know why I got to be sick. I don't know why I got to go through this. I don't understand all this. And we get mad at God when we need to learn to trust Him. He's trying to teach us something. He's trying to show us some things. Solomon observed how God not only loved the children of Israel, but he righteously used the different plagues, the diseases, and even death to teach and instruct the children of Israel that sin and disobedience always bring forth consequences. There are consequences for sin. There are consequences for disobedience to God. There are consequences when we choose to do wrong when we know to do right. And God taught His people. When we consider the book of Numbers, chapter 14, if you look at chapters 14 through 20, through 18, God disciplined those folks that He loved for not trusting and obeying Him. Now, we're not going to go through all those chapters. That's four chapters that I have to read. But the result was a period of wandering about in the desert for 40 years. God sent 12 spies into the land of promise. One spy from every tribe. And God sent each of them in there to go in, spy out the land for 40 days. I want you to see all the things I'm going to give you. God had promised to give them cities that they did not build. wells of living water, fresh water that they didn't dig, fruits and vineyards that they didn't plant. He promised to give them all of these things, and he wanted those 12 spies to go into the land quietly, without being noticed or seen, and just look and see that all the things that God had for them. And what happened? At the end of 40 days, they came back. And they brought two men, brought back a cluster of grapes, held between two of them on a staff. It was so big that they couldn't carry it by themselves. Now, you and I get a little cluster of grapes, and we think we're happy with one like this, okay? All right? This thing had to be carried by two men on a staff between them. It was so big. They brought back the pomegranates, the figs, and all the things. And they told me, said, man, surely this land is a land that floweth with milk and honey. And boy, look at all that God has blessed us with. But 10 of those spies looked at the little things and said, but there's giants in the land. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. Now think about this just a minute. God had already defeated the whole Egyptian army, drowned them all in the depths of the Red Sea. He had parted the waters and brought them through kicking up dust. I believe those folks were kicking up dust that night on dry ground. And as they stood on the other side, that great cloud, that pillar of fire, it was a light to the children of Israel. It was darkness to Pharaoh and his army. God protected them. He kept the armies from overtaking them. And then he lifted that cloud and let Pharaoh's army come out after him. And they began to panic. And Moses stood there and he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he touched that water with his staff. And all that mighty ocean water came down and buried those Egyptians. He took off their wheels of the chariots. They drugged. They couldn't go back. They were caught right in the middle of it, and they died right there before them. God proved to them that he was able to take care of any adversary that came their way. And yet 10 of those folks complained and griped and said, it had been better for us just to die in Egypt than to be in this new land and to be killed by the Anak and his family and all this other stuff and all these giants. And, oh, it's just going to be terrible. God can't protect us. And because they refused to do what God said do, God said, okay, for every day that you are in the wilderness, I'm going to cause you to wander in the wilderness. And because they were there for 40 days, they ended up wandering throughout the wilderness for 40 years. And that generation from 20 years old and upward that complained and murmured against God and couldn't see the blessings of God and couldn't see that God was able to take care of the enemies of that land, and that God wouldn't give them the promises that he had given unto them and fulfill them, he said, you're not going to go into the new land. And he said, your carcass is going to rot right here in the wilderness, right here in the desert. And he caused them to wander around for 40 years. But you know what? Even during all that 40 years of wandering, and they eventually all died off, God supplied their every meal. He protected them. He sent his pillar of cloud over them by day, a pillar of fire by night to lead them, to guide them, to keep them warm. Their shoes did not go bad. Well, I wish I had lived back then. My wife, well, she wouldn't have to buy any more shoes. Okay, one pair of shoes lasted her 40 years and never even have a scratch on it. Boy, that would have been a blessing. And you think about it. God, even during that time of discipline, was showing them his love for them. He wanted them to see that he still loved them. But there were consequences for sin. The reality of it is, folks, God loves us, and that's why he disciplines us. Now, we see the reality of it, but I want you to see the rationale of it this morning. I want you to look over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse number 6. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 6, the writer of the book of Hebrews quotes this verse from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. And he said, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." So let me ask you again, what is God's divine and ultimate purpose for discipline? What is His divine purpose? What is His divine purpose for giving us discipline when we need it in our lives? The Bible shows us here that God clearly uses discipline. Number one, because He loves us enough to do it. He loves us enough to do it. And because true and genuine love cannot withhold discipline and instruction. If you love your children, you're going to discipline them. You're going to teach them the difference between right and wrong. Why? Let me tell you why. Because within each of us is born the nature to do that which is wrong. We don't spend time teaching our children to do wrong. I hope we don't. We don't teach them to cheat. Now, son, this is how you cheat in school. Okay? You write the answers on the bottom of your shoe, and then you walk to class, and then by the time you get to class, you can just raise up your foot, and there are the answers on the bottom of your shoe. I tried that, and it didn't work, okay? I failed that test, and I got in trouble with it when I got home, too. I thought I had the answer. I'll write it on the bottom of my shoe. The teacher will never see it. I didn't think about having to walk to the bus stop, get on the bus and walk around, walk from the bus to the class, from the homeroom class to the class I had to go take the test in. And by the time I got there, it was worn off the bottom of my shoe. Boy, I felt stupid. And I really did hurt after that, okay? All right? And I remember my dad, again, saying these words, "Son, this is going to hurt me more than it does you." And I could not understand that. But discipline shows love. True and genuine love always disciplines in a responsible and a restorative way. The purpose for discipline is to restore fellowship. Sin breaks fellowship, folks. And when we allow sin to come in our lives, and when we allow ourselves to do that which we know is wrong, and we choose to do it, we can expect consequences from that. What did James say in James chapter 4, verse 17? "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is" what? Sin. And folks, it's rough when we have to figure out the consequences for sin when it's too late. Hey, listen. We see that in the book of Genesis. When the devil tried to persuade Adam and Eve, and they ate of that fruit, they knew God had said, "Don't eat of it," but they chose to eat of it. Then when they realized they had done wrong, what's the first thing they tried to do? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They tried to cover up their naked condition. They tried to make it seem like nothing was wrong when everything was wrong in their life. Could they hide that fact from God? No. And you know what it did? Their one sin of disobedience broke the fellowship that they had with God, their Creator. And folks, that's what sin does to us today. And yet, people continue to go on and do it. "Well, God, I got away with this. Nobody found out. Nobody found out that I was doing wrong. Nobody found out that I was stealing or cheating or whatever." Until one day it hits you. And you realize, I don't have fellowship with God like I used to have. I'm not close to God. I've tried to cover up my sin. And when God tries to speak to our hearts and show us what we've done wrong and show us what we've got to do to make things right, we refuse to do it. That's what happened in Cain's life with Adam and Eve. Go over to the book of Genesis chapter 4 in just a moment. Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. When Cain disobeyed God and did not bring the right sacrifice for his sins before the presence of God, God chose not to accept Cain's sacrifice. And in verse 6 and 7 of Genesis chapter 4, the Bible noticed that God saw that Cain was mad. And God asked the question. The Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." You know what God is basically telling Cain here? He said, "Cain, you know I love you. And Cain, you know what's right to do. And Cain, if you do what's right, everything's good. But if you choose to do wrong, it's wrong. And sin is lying at the door waiting to devour you, Cain." That's basically what he's saying. And he's saying, "Cain, the choice is up to you." So again, I ask this question today to you, to me. How do we accept God's discipline in our lives? When it comes time that God has to chasten us or discipline us or show us the right way to go, how do we accept that? You know what happened with Cain? Cain chose not to accept it. And what did he do? He rose up against his own brother. He tried to get his brother to side with him, and they both go against God, and Abel wouldn't do it. And he killed his own brother. And from Genesis chapter 4 forward, you see the results of someone who would not accept God's discipline in their lives. Everything they did contrary to the Word of God. God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make for him and help meet for him." One woman for one man for one lifetime. But what did the descendants of Cain do? Cain's son said, "Hey, I can pick anyone I want." And they are the ones that started having more than one wife. Man, that's crazy. Why do you want to just disobey God? They didn't see the reason for God's discipline. God disciplined Cain because he loved him. But God gave Cain the choice. And folks, God gives you and me the choice today as to how we accept his chastening, his discipline in our lives. And we have to be willing to choose. True and genuine love always disciplines in a restorative and responsible manner. But I want you to see something else this morning. The Bible shows us here how that God uses discipline because he desires that you and I become responsible and spiritually mature individuals. He wants us to be responsible. He wants us to be spiritually mature instead of seeing only our selfish desires, okay? Instead of us only seeing what we want in our lives instead of what God wants. God wants us to see his purpose and his desire for creating us. God wants us to see he's got a plan. So God oftentimes employs discipline. I remember when I was refusing to answer God's call to preach in my life, and I fought against God. And folks, let me tell you, I was miserable. Spiritually, I was miserable. You can't be right with God when you're doing everything against God and what he wants in your life. You can't be happy with him. There's no fellowship with him. And boy, I was miserable until I realized, you know what? Every excuse that I gave to God, "Well, God, I don't know that you can supply my needs if I become a preacher. And God, this is what I want, and this is what I want to do. And God, I'm afraid to do this. What will people say?" But it got down to the point that I was more afraid not to do God's will than I was to do God's will. And you know what thought went through my mind and my heart? That if I continue to refuse to do what God says do, and I know what He wants me to do, and I continue to do my own plan, my own way, then God's going to say, okay, son, if that's what you want, fine. Here you go. I'm going to put you up on the shelf of do nothing up here. And I'll go find me somebody else that will serve me and trust me and obey me. And I'll never bother you again. Boy, that's the thought that went through my mind. And I didn't want that. I knew what God had done for me. I knew how He'd saved me. I knew He was calling me to trust Him and to obey Him. But I was scared. I was petrified. I was terrified. I was terrified because of what might happen at home. I was terrified because what might happen with the little girl I was dating that I've now been married to for 43 years that knew all the time that God was dealing with my heart about this thing, and she just kept praying for me. God, make him miserable until he does what you want him to do. And God answered her prayer, okay? And folks, listen to me. I'm thankful for God's discipline. I'm thankful that God convicted my heart and chastened me and showed me that He had a plan that was better than mine. But you know what? I'm really thankful that I willingly chose to trust Him. And that's what God wants us to do. Wherever you see God's discipline revealed in the Bible, you always see God's grace that's provided. And my pastor, back when I answered God's call to preach, he told me this. He said, son, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God will not keep you. And he was right. I want you to look real quick at Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Verses 1 through 5. Look at what he said. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chastened thee. Do you see the purpose here that God did what he did with those people? It was because he loved them. He wanted them to be proven, and he wanted them to know that God would provide for them. Now, we're going to stop on the lesson here. We'll finish it up next week. But folks, I want you to understand something. God loves us today. And because he loves us, he oftentimes has to discipline us. Don't despise the chastening of God. Accept it. Be willing to do what God said do so that we might have fellowship with him and be the servants that God would have us to be. Let's pray. Father, I love you and I thank you, Lord, for this lesson. And I pray, dear God, today that you'll use it to help us to see just how much, God, you really do love us and care for us today. Bless our folks today. Protect us from any harm with the snow coming in. I pray, God, that you'll keep everybody safe. Well, thank you now for what you're going to do in the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for coming on this snowy Sunday morning.